Who in here remember growing up studying the Baltimore Catechism? Raise your hands up. Many of you in here did. Well, at least for the more seasoned people, the young people wouldn't know. So in the Baltimore Catechism, the first question would be, who made us? Of course, the answer is God. The second question would be, who is God? And of course, God is heaven and earth, the creator of all things seen and unseen. And here come the two questions that are important and are related to the gospel and all the readings today. The third question asks, why did God make us? The answer is, God made us to show forth his goodness and to share with us everlasting happiness in heaven. Not here, in heaven. The fourth question then goes, what must we do to gain the happiness of heaven? The answer is, to gain the happiness of heaven, we must know, love, and serve God in this world. Threefold. To know, to love, and to serve God. That's important, huh? This is important because knowing it not enough, saying that we love God is not enough. It all had to be three. And all those things had to be founded in who God is and who we are in his eyes. Oftentimes we hear people say, I love God, I love God, I love God. But then at the same time we use God as if a pronoun. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Then do we really love him? And when we say that we love him, what do we mean by loving him? Loving him must begin with knowing him. And how do we know him? Have we spent enough time to study the scripture? Have we spent enough time to pray? Have we spent enough time to cultivate and nourish our faith yet or not? If we have not spent time in order to enrich, cultivate, and nourish our faith, then we really do not know who God is objectively. And if we do not know who God is objectively, then we cannot be moved to love him within our heart. And loving him within our heart begins with us choosing to put him first. And once we put him first and everything else becomes secondary, then we can know what it truly means to serve God in one another. If we don't know how to love God, when we serve other people, we run into the problem of, oh, I volunteer because I feel good about it. I do these things because I find rewarding matters in it. Then it's ultimately become self-serving. So when we love God, then we know that because he had loved us first, then serving him becomes the extension of who we are. It becomes the act of love, not just the matter of I'm doing it because it makes me feel good. And we have heard in the first reading today from the first book of Kings, when Solomon asked God for wisdom, and the Lord told him clearly, that what is wisdom is about. I will give you a heart so wise and understanding that there has never been anyone like you up to now. And after you, there will come no one equal to you. So the knowledge of the Old Testament, the true wisdom of the Old Testament, is not such to be sly or to have everything that we want or to have the ability to get what we want, but to truly know who God is. That is true wisdom. It's the ability to know who God is and to align everything in this world, in our lives, so that everything that we have find God at his ending and the ultimate prize. And that's what exactly we heard in the reading today according to the Gospel of St. Matthew. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in the field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he hath and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. He finds a pearl of great price. He goes and sells all that he hath and buys it. It's radical. It's radical. It's something that nobody in their right mind would do. But yet, that's the kingdom of God. Why is this merchant, why is this person able to sell everything, let go of everything, in order to grab onto the kingdom of God? To grab onto God. Which means that God had to have the special place in our heart in order for us to sell us everything, in order to follow Him, in order to possess Him, in order to abide by Him, in order to love Him, in order to know Him, in order to serve Him. It's an act of knowing. It's an act of letting go of things that are lesser, things that are secondary, to grab on the things that give us happiness, joy, contentment, and eternal life. That is to abide by God. And we have to ask ourselves now, are we willing to let go of everything to seek God? Or are we asking God to help us to seek everything we want? Are we willing to let go of everything to seek God? Or are we simply asking God to help us to seek everything that we want? And I'm guilty of this. I went to spiritual direction yesterday, and I told my spiritual director, because he wanted to know what's going on in my life. And I told him I have this construction project, which make me have more gray hair every day. And it's kind of like grinding teeth and pulling hair, because we are at the last stage. And I feel stressed out, and I feel like this is not something I wanted to do in the beginning, but now it's kind of like a gorilla on my back that kind of gnawing at me every day. And then so he asked, so how is your prayer life? I said, I try to find God's presence all the time, even in the things I don't like to do. Then he asked again, how is your prayer life? I pray, Father. I pray. He asked, how is your prayer life? Then I finally told him, I pray, but my heart is not in it, because I'm too filled with so many worries right now. Then he told me that you know what you need to do. You need to let go and to make more time for God. I didn't want to hear that, but I needed to hear that. A lot of time we are busy with many, many things. They're good things. Construction is good. Building things is good. Trying to bring things into fulfillment is good. Caring for people is good. Caring for our family is good. Doing volunteerism is good. Whatever good things we're doing, they're not bad. If they're bad, most of us won't do them. But too much of a good thing might be bad. And when we become too preoccupied with the things of this world, no matter how good they are, and especially when we are too preoccupied with the things of this world, that they distract us from loving God, and in our prayer life, we need to cut them and reprioritize them. There's no other way around it. And it's hard. And again, I'm guilty of that. But as I recognize that, my spiritual director told me, when you recognize that you have strayed away from God, or when you have become so busy, you have to return right away. No, but don't make excuses. Just make more time. You will not have time for God if you do not will to make more time for Him. And sometimes that means just to sit down and to start praying. And that's hard. But St. Paul has said that each and every one of us have been called. We have been justified. And those whom He had justified, He also glorified. But the glory of God according to St. Paul in the second readings today, it's not the glory of this world. The real glory that God gives to us is that we know who we belong to and why we are glorified. And the things that we are glorified by is to be called sons and daughters of God. That gives us glory. That gives us satisfaction. That gives us rest. Not the things that we have done or the things that we are called to achieve by quantity. Nothing else matters except for God. For we have been called, we have been justified, and He will glorify us if we abide with Him. And how do we abide with Him? Let's go back to that fourth question. According to the Baltimore Catechism, we must know, love, and serve God in this world. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, especially for you who are parents or our grandparents, what are we giving to our young children? Are we telling them that they only are good when they are doing something? Are we preoccupying their lives with a whole bunch of extracurricular activities and all these activities to live out their dreams? Do they know who they are? Do they know who they belong to? And that they are loved because they are created in the image and likeness of God, not because of what they can do? If we simply tell our children to live their dream, but yet we instill within their heart and mind and subconsciousness that in order to live out their dream, they have to do all these things, then what did we tell them? That you're only loved when you're able to be something good or do something good. And that's wrong. That's not from God. Therefore, we have to teach our children, beginning with ourselves, how to pray and how to keep the commandments of the Lord. We have heard in the responsorial psalm today, "Wonderful are your decrees, O Lord. Therefore, I observe them. The revelation of your words sheds light, giving understanding to the simple. Therefore, I love your commands more than gold, more than anything in this world. I love your commands, Lord. For in all your precepts I go forward. Every false way I hate." We need to let go of the things that distract us away from God, no matter how appealing they are, no matter how good they seem. And we have to realign them in order to serve God, to love Him, and to know Him. My brothers and sisters, I preach to you, but I preach to myself first, because my spiritual director yelled at me yesterday. And I have to hear him, because he was right. He called me out on the things that I don't want to hear. And I'm glad why I have a spiritual director. And all of us, too, are called to the same thing. At many times that we have strayed away from God, at many things that have kept us busy in this world, the many more times and the many more effort we need to make in order to return to Him. May we value the kingdom of heaven like that treasure buried in the field, or like that fine pearl that we're willing to buy, to sell everything, to let go of everything and to hold on to it. In everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that go on in our lives, may we seek the happiness of heaven. Not the happiness now, the happiness of heaven, by knowing God, by loving Him, and by serving Him in this world.